Good evening. Is it really good? No, because the Sharks have lost three in a row and have not held the lead on this road trip. It is November 28th, 2018. That's right. Patrick Marleau, Shark Killer. Never thought you'd ever hear that one. But nonetheless, welcome to Teal Town After Dark. For fellow Sharks fans, this is your live and interactive Sharks post-game show. We do this after every game on YouTube. So, of course, and we will also want to welcome our friends up north in Toronto. By all means, make fun of us. I know Dangle was already laughing his ass off already on Twitter tonight, and understandably so. But nonetheless, be a part of the show. Join us in the, well, there's multiple ways you can join us and interact with us. Chat with us and Sharks fans in the YouTube chat on the page or the app. Use the hashtag TealTownUSA to join in on the chompversation. And you can always follow us on our social media channels, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and of course, smash that subscribe button and don't forget to ring our bell. That way you know when we are getting notified and you can get notified when we go on the air. With me tonight, it is Mr. Eric Landy.
Hi, Puck Guy. I think we're all kind of battling flu-like symptoms here, but you know, good of us to, you know, get in the game, I guess, and work on tonight's podcast. Honestly, it's getting old, you know, the cliches and the you know, the same things that we've been saying over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really getting old at this point, and I don't know what it's going to take to get these guys in gear.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's, you know, it's funny, it ain't broke, they fix it, or they try to fix it. You know, when Jumbo came back and round, and it's like, what the hell? Now it ain't broke. Now we don't fix anything. So, Davey Pilot saying, Desert Tox. I'm trying to get drunk. Gen X, you're right. The Sharks are 12-14. Nothing to it. And this team has lost three in a row after going 4-1-1 on the homestand that they just finished. And we'll get to some tidbits. And we have a lot of tidbits going on tonight's game.
But before we round into the game, though, I just want to kind of address something really quickly. The Sharks, under Peter DeBoer, have played a defensive-minded system. They've played a system that has, you know, really worked for them in the past. But it was exposed. It was exposed in the Cup Final versus Pittsburgh, where they flew a man high in the zone, waiting for that cross ice pass, you know, on the going the other way. So they're a little bit lax in their own defensive zone, but they're flying a guy high to try and create that rush, you know, and goals off the rush. This was a hallmark of Toronto the first time they played the Sharks. It was something that we pointed out that they continually did. It's something that the Sharks have not adjusted to. And right now, this is a deficiency in the defensive structure. Right now, this is on coaching. The talent is there. And you know what? It's going to be a broken record again going through this game. Because, Eric, why don't you go ahead and take it away?
Yep. Let's get right at it. The teams came out strong. I thought both teams came out strong first. Then the Sharks got into penalty trouble. It started off at 2:53. Kevin LeBanc tripping Mitch Marner, which more than anything, I'm not trying to make excuses for this team, and I really don't like to blame on the refs, but it freaking Marner steps on LeBanc's stick and down he goes. And when you don't see replays or anything or in slow motion, you see high speed, he goes down and trips. It's fine. Nonetheless, what does that happen? What happens? Well, the Leafs make you pay. and they made them pay tonight against the number one penalty killing unit in the NHL. John Tavares from San Ramon native Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner with a beautiful setup, tic-tac goal, as Chris Cuthbert from TSN would say it, his 16th of the season at 3:38, gets the Leafs off and running really quick. I'm sorry, Landy. Once that happened, I knew we were in trouble.
Oh, for sure. I mean, look, when you're reliant on your penalty kill, and it's really the best part and the best aspect of your game, and quite frankly, it's been kind of lucky as of late in the penalty kill. You know, when that goes out the window and you're on the second of back-to-backs, it's not going to be a good night, you know, when the thing that you rely upon most is getting exposed that quickly. And you're absolutely right. It was going to be a long night after that one.
Yeah. And Chris saying on the chat, they can't try to outscore teams. They gave way too many chances. Yeah. And I completely agree. Like a tiger consistently giving up 3+ goals. Yep. I can completely agree on that, you know, but it's the issue. Tabby saying, don't panic, still early in the season, they'll figure it out, guys. Ha ha ha. Yeah, but now we're essentially a third of the way into the season now. So
we're getting there, right? I mean, we're definitely getting there. And you know, people have called us pessimistic. You know, people have said, oh, you know, this show is not great because, you know, it's really lopsided and one-sided kind of analysis. But I think all of us collectively have been seeing these continuing trends, and these trends are not being addressed. The continual, you know, basically trotting out of similar lineups, the continual unwillingness to be creative and out of the box has really, really shot this team in the foot. I mean, you know, I hate to berate on Melker Carlson. I mean, I think he's really in the Twitter sphere. He gets a lot of gripes. I think he's a decent penalty killer. You know, average to maybe above average penalty killing, speedy, you know, gritty forechecker, but look at his point output. Not great. Barkley Goodrow, not great. Antti Suomela's deployment has been horrible. His ice time has been horrible. You've got guys, you know, sitting in the CUDA waiting to be called up. I like Radil. You know, I think getting him on the fourth line was definitely a good thing, and he's very noticeable out there in a good way. But, you know, it's going to take some real outside-of-the-box thinking and whether or not that's going to be sitting a Justin Braun. Because let's face it, Justin Braun has not looked good. You know, whether that is, you know, making, you know, we laughed at it before and we've continually say, oh, well, how can you move a Norris defenseman back to forward? But, you know, I'm not suggesting that, but I'm suggesting some kind of seismic shift to get this team out of its funk.
But, and I'll come back with this and then we'll continue on. Does Justin Braun give the Sharks a better chance to win, or does Tim Heath give us a better chance to win with him in the lineup over Justin Braun?
I think right now Justin Braun is a liability on his skates. I've seen him lose pucks at the blue line uncharacteristically. I've seen him get outworked for pucks behind the net. You know, Tim Heed is a little bit of a wild card. He's got a hell of a shot. Yeah. You know, maybe the hardest slapper on the team, and that's saying something. Yeah. He is quicker than Justin Braun, and at this point, might be more reliable. The other guy that we've yet to hear is Simic.
Yeah, who, that's the one I was trying to announce earlier. Sorry.
You know, he is, you know, Simic is supposed to be a shutdown defenseman. That's his calling card and his specialty. So why we haven't seen him yet draw into the lineup is besides me. I don't know why.
Well, you know, I said it to AJ the other night. I wonder if they're gun shy to send him back down to the Barracuda just because of what happened with Ryan Carpenter last year. Afraid of losing a prospect for nothing like we have with, or not just a prospect, losing a player for nothing like we did with Carpenter, Nieto, and Marlowe. I think there might be some gun shyness to that. So,
yeah, we'll see. I mean, it could be. But, you know, when this team is down a forward, and tonight we were down Timo Meier, it definitely shows. It definitely shows the lack of depth in the lineup. And I will continually say this until it is, you know, addressed. This Sharks team is getting outworked, and it's being physically moved, either yeah. physically moved off the puck or it's being physically beaten by a faster team. This team can play fast. You know, it has in the past played fast.
Right.
But that is committed to coming back by the forwards into the defensive zone farther. It's also a commitment for those defensemen to eat the puck on the boards when they do get into trouble versus making, you know, very high danger, high risk plays through the slot. And for Christ's sake, can these guys put their bodies up against the wall when the puck is coming to them? Because the amount of hop over pucks we've seen over yep. sticks on the blue line has been crazy.
Carlson's had a bunch of those tonight. Vlasic's been well known about having those, especially on the power play. It's a frustrating thing when little things like that happen. It's almost like the puck over glass penalties that AJ was talking about earlier in the year. So it's those little things that add up that can cost you big time. But at 9:32, let's get back into it. Andreas Janssen interferes with Jonas Donskoy. The Sharks get a power play, and they have their own tic-tac-toe pass and play. LeBanc, probably the one thing he did good tonight, fortunately, from and Couture gets it over to Tomas Hertl, his sixth of the season at 10:40. Sharks on the board. They are tied 1-1. Unfortunately, the Sharks would take a penalty right after that at 11:02. Barclay Goodrow holding up Austin Matthews. Leafs get a power play, and San Ramon native Austin Matthews buries it home. His 11th from Riley and Marner, 11:19. That didn't take long either for them. 2-1 Toronto, and then late in the period, I think they were just trying to get away with getting through the period, but John Tavares, yes, the John Tavares, gets his 17th. Marner with his third assist of the period, along with Zach Hyman, 19:42. They go into the locker room down 3-1 to Toronto.
And that last goal was a backbreaker. To me, that was the one that really killed the will. Honestly, killed the will of this team. They did not look the same after that. I think that they had bought into the fact that it was the second of a back-to-back and were resigned to that fate.
But I would hope by the time Saturday comes and they begin their third set of back-to-backs that they kind of have to figure out that they got to do this all. With a quick turnaround. And speaking of a quick turnaround, LeBanc goes back to the box to begin the second period. He trips up Tavares. Leafs get a power play, and of course, the most awkwardest moment of the night happens. Former Shark Patrick Marlowe scores his sixth goal on the power play from Ennis and Janssen to make it 4-1. Toronto. We'll get back to Patrick Marleau in a little bit in game 16-1 of his illustrious career. But then the Sharks kind of started fighting back a little bit. And Joe Pavelski leading like a captain and might be making things a little difficult if things keep up the way they are for this team. He gets his 16th goal. He goes one-timer once again, kind of like Ovechkin a little bit, Eric. Yeah,
it was very Ovechkin-like.
And he had that last night, too.
Yeah, it was at the top of the circle. You know, he was really leaning on that stick. You could see the flex in it when he one-timed it. Very Ovechkin-esque and really just a really nice 8-88, the crazy eights, or actually 88-8, the crazy eights, you know, set up for a goal. And, you know, last night we saw Pavelski do the same thing, where he took this team kicking and screaming and got them a point. But outside of Joe Pavelski, Tomas Hertl, Timo Meier, Sorensen, you know, and Thornton, to be honest, where is the rest of the team? Where is Jonas Donskoy right now? Where is Evander Kane right now? Mm-hmm. You know, we can go to where is LeBanc right now, as far as LeBanc is creating a lot of chances, but he's creating a lot of chances for the other team as well.
Yeah. I put this in the chat. I'm not sure if you saw it in our pregame chat. Kane now with one goal and one assist in his last 8 games. Jonas Donskoy, 2 goals in his last 18 games. And that's with Pavelski. So, you know, kudos to Pavs doing what he's done, scoring 11 goals in the month of October. If he's not named the Sharks player of the month for November, shame on him on the team for 6 months for that one.
Yeah.
So,
another quick note as well. The Carolina Hurricanes have had scouts at the last 3 Sharks games, I believe, with another one being there tonight. So I'm not sure if DW is looking around, sniffing around for something to trade, but you know, he's got a glut of defensemen. Something tells me that he's looking for another center or another, you know, another forward of some type. But it'd be interesting to see if a old trading partner comes back to make a trade with us, and that would be Carolina.
And it'll be interesting, but like a lot of people are saying in the chat, Beach Boys fan forever, MLP, what happened to our chemistry? Let's Shark fan, where are the star players? You know, it's just, you know, it's one of those things, you know, no, and Chris saying it now, no one talks about the chemistry of a losing team. You know,
I think when we're talking about chemistry, because I think, you know, Chris brings up a good point. What is chemistry? Is it just a code word for playing well? I think for me, chemistry is about intuitively knowing where your other players are going to be on the ice and really seeing those cross ice passes work, really having the feel for those, you know, touch passes or saucer passes. We're not seeing that right now. We're seeing a lot of chip and chase. We're seeing a lot of grind down low. You know, we're not seeing very clean entries through the neutral zone, which has been a staple of this team when it wins, is the way that it moves the puck through the neutral zone. And that's how this team gains its speed. Because everybody knows, I mean, everybody and their mother knows that if you clog up the neutral zone enough on the Sharks, that's how you kill their game. And, you know, clogging the neutral zone and flying a forward high, the opposing forward high, for a odd man rush or for a chance off the rush is how you beat this team. And you look at Toronto and the way that they scored tonight, mind you, off the power play, that's how they scored. You look at that game again that we had earlier in the month against Toronto. Again, same thing, flying a forward high, getting that odd man rush or getting a rush, and they're just scoring. And with the way that the Sharks are giving up high danger chances in and around the net is a recipe for disaster.
Can I make you laugh for just a moment before we go to the third period?
Okay.
Sleepy Mofo, the Sharks are bad when Landy's not wearing any Shark swag. Dang it, Landy!
Well, come on. Well, hey, I was watching the game, you know, from in a small little window on the side of my office desk. So it's not like, you know, I can really show super fandom at work. When this team really shows what it can do and it can really, you know, is really worthy of me wearing some swag, you know, I'll start to wear some swag.
Yeah. No, I just,
you know, Phantom bringing it up, passes have been lazy and careless. That's exactly the words that I would use. They're mentally not engaged.
And that's a scary thing. And I've been bringing up the mental psyche of the squad for the last two games now. And that's the thing that I think more than anything, they're not polished. They're not out there. They're not prepped and everything. And it's really scary to think with all the talent that they have. And of course, to quote Herb Brooks, you don't have enough talent to win on talent alone. This team has a ton of talent, and I think they were banking on winning on just talent alone. You know, like Les Shark fan just said, I think it's about will over skill. They don't even have to have the will to use their skill right now. That's scary. You know, Burge 7F91. So what is the problem? Offense or defense? Seems to be defense as opposed to tape to tape passes. I think it's both.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think the only thing that this team can bank on for you know, for the good side, the bright side, was their penalty kill, and that took a big hit tonight.
It's still number one, funnily enough, but you know, it's definitely come down from its 90.5% or whatever. It's at 89.3 now, so almost a full percentage point coming down.
And they enter tonight only allowing 8 goals on the penalty kill. They allow 3 tonight. Third period now, about halfway through, Austin Matthews gets a tip of a Janssen shot. So Janssen and Kapanen get the goal or the assist on Austin's on San Remo native Austin Matthews' second goal of the night. That made it 5-2 at 10:59. And the one thing that really got me going here was, and I know you have to play him sometime, but when you're down by 3 goals and you still have a half a period left and your fourth line hasn't done much for you in the last who knows whatever, you put him out there the next shift after? Yeah. I even tweeted out, basically that's saying, well, we give up. We give up. Here's the fourth line to finish out the game. And then what happens? At 18:02, Melkman scores his second goal in 5 days from Donskoy and Kane, the two guys we had just talked about. So they each get an assist on there. Melkman on the top line, which means Melker Carlson will be on the top line for Saturday. No, I'm kidding. He finishes off the scoring, 5-3, your final in this one. To go over the stats, shots on goal 41-29 in favor of San Jose. Faceoffs, the least owned in this faceoff circle, 60-40. Power plays, if you're going to take something out of this, here's one of them. Sharks were 2-for-3 on the power play tonight. However, the Leafs went 3-for-4 on their power play tonight, and looked a lot crisper than the Sharks did on theirs.
Yeah.
You know, hits were about even. Blocks, the Leafs blocked 18 to the Sharks 8. The Leafs actually gave up 20 giveaways to the Sharks 12. It was crazy. Burns with an assist. Carlson, Hurdle, and Pavelski were your goal scorers. Logan Couture with 2 assists on the night. For the Leafs, You had John Tavares with two goals on the evening. Austin Matthews makes his return back after missing a month. He gets two goals and an assist. Mitch Marner, like we said, three assists just in the first period alone. Andreas Janssen, two assists on the night. And, of course, Patrick Marleau. Patrick Marleau's goal was very significant and for many reasons here. First off, he ties Stan Mikita on the all-time NHL goal-scoring list. He also, with that goal, scored against every team in the NHL now. He's now 31 for 31.
And he has 30 game-winning goals,
which is unprecedented in the National Hockey League.
Yep.
So a big night for the Leafs and former Shark Patrick Marleau, who scored, I believe, Randy said, what, his 105th or 106th game-winning goal of his NHL career? Yes. Nearly 20% of Patrick Marleau's goals have been game winners. And for anybody who says that this guy doesn't have any guts or any of that matter, and that's probably not even covering the playoffs, for one thing about Patrick Marleau, he's not clutch. So tips off to the Leafs. And, well, Patrick, I mean, this is kind of like the last bit of the Band-Aid coming off for Sharks fans because, you know, he wanted to go there. He wasn't traded. So in the chat, let's see.
I think we should answer Anthony Sanchez's question. So sure. Are we in serious trouble? Well, Anthony, I just want to quickly refer you over to the standings. Calgary leads the division, but this is based upon number of wins, your row reference. So
drink!
Because, you know, Lord knows we all need a drink after that game. But Calgary leads the division with 29 points, but they have two games in hand against the Sharks. That's and three on those foul from the South, the Anaheim Ducks, who have now tied the Sharks and Calgary at 29 points for the lead in the division. Now, the Sharks have one game in hand on Anaheim, so it stacks up like this. Calgary has 24 games played. Anaheim has 27 games played. We have 26 games played. So all in all, if Calgary went, you know, ran the table and won its two games in hand, it would have 33 points. That would be a full 4 points in front of the Sharks. You have Vegas now on the outside looking in at 26 games played, but they have 27 points. So you're asking if we're in serious trouble. The answer is yes. It's getting serious now because you're in a three-way tie for first, yet you're almost tied in games played with Anaheim. So this is that juncture in the season where you're either going to correct for what's going on and you're going to see the upward tick, but we're also at that inflection point where things could go south really quickly. You know, you lose those back-to-back games, all of a sudden you could be on the outside staring in, for a playoff spot. And with the amount of talent on this team, if that was to happen, I think you're going to press Doug Wilson's hand and make a coaching change. I really do.
That's if he wants to make a coaching change. And here's the thing. I know Joel Quenneville's out there and everything, but tell me where else are we, who else could we get if he's not there? You can't go in with, you know, a backup plan and just hope that Joel Quenneville says, okay, and then just let Roy Sommer coach for like a game or two till he gets here. I just can't see it. And like Gen X says, he ain't coming here.
No.
Now Rob Ryman says factor fiction, Roy Sommer gets named an interim head coach. What are you drawing Sutter out of retirement? I think Dave Tippett is, Dave Tippett, I think, is already working with the Seattle franchise.
Group.
Yeah. Doug Wilson should coach. Actually, he's, believe it or not, along with his co-coach, Cap Rader, will hands down be the greatest coach in Sharks history. They are both 1-0. So that was like in between Sutter and Ron Wilson for that one. I do have some audio that we should share. This is coming from Logan Couture, and this is courtesy from our friends of Brody Brazil and NBC Sports California on his reaction of tonight's game.
Frank Ways, up man rushes. Same old story. Is it structural? Is it commitment? Is it, what, I mean, what is it, a combination of a little bit of everything? Right? Just to answer your question. Yeah.
You said this morning you guys wanted to focus more on your play than worried about who they had.
Yep.
Do you kind of get away from the type of game that you need to play?
I mean, yes.
To play successful.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't play the way that we need to. We played it in spurts. I thought a large part of the second period we did. The goal at the end of the third is unacceptable. Can't happen. You got 3-on-3 and give up a tap in backdoor, and it's a big goal in the game.
And then their fifth one. Just middle of the slot, guy alone.
We played well. Second half of the game, we generated a lot of zone time, a lot of opportunities, but easy goals for them.
This team being a work in progress, and the whole process of it, how far off are you guys from being where you need to be to, play with the best teams in the league?
My personal opinion, I don't think we're close, but we show spurts and signs that we're capable of it. But we haven't put together an effort against a top quality team. We had a spurt in that Nashville game where we were able to come back and beat them. That may be it, but we got to figure it out soon.
Are you a believer? Everybody says, we got new pieces, we're integrating new pieces. Are you a believer that it just takes some time and it's coming, or is it time to start hitting the panic?
I'm a believer that it takes time. I'm a believer that it doesn't take 26 games. So. We need to figure it out.
That's interesting there, that it takes time, but it doesn't take 26 games.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at who's out there right now. I'm the guy that I could maybe see the Sharks looking at would be somebody like a Dan Bylsma. He's out there right now. He's an NHL Network studio analyst. You could maybe have him come in. He's supposed to be a player's coach. Maybe that's something they need. I don't know. I mean, I don't see Quenneville coming here. Vigneault. I'm not really a big fan. Adam Oates is now, I think, consulting for LA.
Yeah.
So
that, there's no way they're going to be doing that. So. We also have audio from Pete DeBoer after this game, which also should be interesting.
Well, the story was the three power play goals. I mean, they went 3-for-4, so you're not going to win on the road giving up two power play goals, never mind three. Our attention to detail on the PK is as good as anybody in the league. So, it wasn't tonight. You got to give them credit. They've got a pretty potent power play, and they executed it. Stuck in the net. It changes, but guys got to get the job done. I thought it was, it's an opportunity for some other guys to jump in and do the job. And I didn't feel like, we could play four lines tonight. And that's unfortunate because, you want guys to grab opportunity.
You talk about this being a work in progress and a process. How close do you think you are to this team, being the type of team that can compete with anyone on a night-to-night basis?
Well, I think we can. You don't think we could compete with those guys tonight? I mean, they went 3-for-4 on the power play. That was the story of the game. I think.
Let me rephrase that. But where you are competing with everyone on a night-to-night basis?
I think we are doing that. I mean, we just played two of the best teams in the league, and. So I would disagree with you. I think we're competing with everybody. We've got to find a way to win games. We've got to find a way to put it all together. But, I think for large portions of games, we're competing just fine. How close is it? I don't know. I mean, it's wins, right? So
that's really, really disheartening to hear him say that they've been competing. They haven't. I mean, and I don't know what he's looking at, but that sounds to me like a coach in denial. That's a coach that doesn't know what's going on.
And that's scary to think. So they lost 6-0 to the Knights. They lost, what, 3-2 in overtime to Buffalo. And they lose 5-3 to the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's 14-5 they've been outscored on in the three games on their road trip. You know, and like I think we both said, something's got to give. You know, the switch should have been turned on by now. I mean, it really has, and I don't know what you can, you know, it's when it is. You know, that's craziness. Gen X sounds like a coach not wanting to say anything to the press, and he's been a little more dicey with the press, you know. I almost want to say since the Drake concert comments came out. So
yeah, he seems to be having a little bit of some beef there with Kersey.
But you know what? If we were the Toronto Maple Leafs and all this was going on, they'd be throwing crap at everybody too. So I think it's, you know, it is what it is. Puckmom even saying, you know, okay, everyone, is this all because of coaching or is it because of the players? Is it because of player selection per line? Or, which I kind of agree a little bit with here, a strength and conditioning thing. Seen leads given up. We've seen people, you know, lose, you know, and just dominate like we've seen twice on this road trip.
Yeah, I mean, is it that or is it the defensive structure of this team? I mean, look at the goaltending stats. I mean, I know that, yes, it's the goaltenders also have to, you know, stop the black rubber thing that's coming at them. But, you know, the amount of high danger chances have not gone away. And you know, the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing and hope for the same or hope for a different result, you know? And I mean, look, Aaron Dell has a 904 save percentage and a 2.88 goals against. Martin Jones has a 3 goal against GAA and an 892 save percentage. That's not getting it done. That's not getting it done. But, you know, we could probably attribute maybe, let's say, between 0.02 to 0.03 of that goaltending average from the high danger chances. You know, maybe 0.05, you know, and you put a 0.02 for Aaron Dell and he's at a 924. You put a 0.02 for Martin Jones, he's at a 912. You know, so I don't know, Eric. I don't know. I think that this team is not adapting to the new style that's prevalent among the other teams. They look slow. And they don't look like they're buying into the system anymore.
Yep. Sleepy Mofo says, I miss Eric Fair. I do too. I mean, seriously. But let's put a bow on this. And Landy, I think it's time.
Oh, you mean it's time for everybody's favorite NHL reach around?
What?
The reach around? Go ahead and play that soundbite.
All right, fine. Wait, I gotta. Here we go.
Oh, you changed it. Oh, weak.
I was actually going for the one that that AJ had originally put on there, but We might need some reach arounds anyways after tonight, but I digress. Anyways, let's move on. Let's not turn this into rated R. There were a number of games in the NHL this evening, and some that are still in progress. Go Stars Go is all I'm going to say. Currently, they are playing in the Saddle Dome against the Calgary Flames. They are up 2-1, about 13:20 left to go in the third period. Spezza and Ben are your goal scorers for Dallas. Hathaway with the Flames. Another game that's in progress over on NBCSN that you can tune in after you finish watching us. Late in the second period, 3-1 Avalanche over the Penguins. Crosby with his 11th. Wilson, Johnson, and Girard all scoring for Colorado. Now to the games that have gone final. Detroit beats St. Louis 4-3. Rockets' least favorite Red Wing, Tyler Bertuzzi, getting the game-winning goal. He had two on the night as Howard gets the win. Perron, his seventh. Perron gets his seventh and eighth, tying Tarasenko, who also got his eighth on the night, but not enough for the Blues, who are at 19 points. Detroit at 25. In South Florida, battle of the 93-94 expansion teams. The Ducks win this one 3-2 with Richie scoring two goals. He gets the game winner. Reimer, former Shark James Reimer, takes the loss in that one. That is your quick update for the NHL wraparound. And let's go to the standings as we speak. Landy's already mentioned it a little bit earlier. However, thank you, NHL.com, for loading up. All right, so here's what it's looking like as of this moment. Nashville at 35, Colorado currently playing. They're at 32. Minnesota at 30. That's your top three in the Central. The Pacific has tightened up greatly, as Landy mentioned. While Calgary has three more games in hand, they are the Pacific Division leader at 29 over Anaheim. San Jose's got two more games played than the Ducks. I'm sorry, two more games played than the Flames have. They're at 29. In the wild card, you have Winnipeg at 28, Dallas at 27, Vegas just on the outside looking in at 27. Vancouver, that's right, Vancouver is also just 4 points back at 25. With the win, the Leafs tie the Buffalo Sabres for the best team. For the best team in the league at 36, although they played one more game. Tampa right behind them at 35. What a competitive Atlantic division. Washington retakes the Metro lead at 31. The surprising Rangers, who were supposed to be rebuilding, or they sent out a note to everybody at the trade deadline last year, are at 28. So that is your current update in the NHL with the standings. I know we're getting close to December and everything, but always good to see where you're at.
Interesting. Ken Campbell, if you guys don't follow the hockey news, go do that. They're really awesome. Eric Carlson comes out of the post-game scrum, is asked a question about returning to Ottawa Saturday night, turns on his heels and walks away without a word.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of that, but Eric Carlson seems like he's a guy who is, you know, pretty courteous, seems like a guy who's, you know, willing to give the press, you know, some quotes, and just walking away with nothing going on there. That's not good. That's definitely not good.
Nope. You know what wasn't good last night? Me actually trying to pronounce Adecco.
Adecco.
So I'm giving myself a chance to redeem myself right now. So, hey, Sharks fans, the All-Star Game is less than 2 months away. And if you want to be a part of it, of a special experience, by all means, check this out. All right. They are looking for All-Star ambassadors, hiring for the 2018 NHL All-Star Weekend. You're going to be working from the 23rd to the 27th. It will pay you $15 an hour. Part-time shifts ranging from 5 to 8 hours. We'll find out more, but between the hours of 8 a.m. to 1 a.m. So if you're interested, log on to Adecco usa.com/NHL or call 408-556-4924 if you're interested on that. So check that out there. If you are interested in helping out, great time to do it, especially if you're local. I know that a lot of the hotels, are already booked. So locally, if you're around and you want to have a unique experience for All-Star Weekend, definitely check this out.
Eric, I just want to give you some awesome news. And if you can't hear the sarcasm in my voice, Calgary just tied it.
I was hoping you just switched and saved a lot of money by switching to Geico, but all right. Calgary ties it at 2. Not good for the Sharks. I mean, granted, it is still November and you're still in there. We haven't set up Rocket to let's see. I have room at my house. Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
I think just putting the bow on this, on the game tonight, I something's got to give here. And you know what? They're getting into the most important time of the season, really, where, you know, we're banking those points are going to be really, really important. And, you know, come January, February, if this team is on the outside looking in by 2 or 3 points, it's going to be back in December, back in November, where they're looking like, oh man, we could have had some of those games. You know, we could have used those points. And that's why it's so important right now. And that's why it's so important to get this ship back on its good sails.
You know what's also important? To catch us everywhere. We are always available at TealTownUSA.com or your favorite podcatcher, whether that's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. Of course, as we said earlier, make sure you smash that subscribe button. Make sure you ring that bell. Ring that bell on our YouTube page. That'll notify you when we go on the air with everything live, or we drop a little Easter egg on you, whether it's an episode of the Phenologist.
Eric, the hockey gods just smited you for singing that song because the Calgary Flames have now gone up 3-2 against Dallas.
Hockey gods, if you're watching, you've spited me for 28 years. 28 fucking years. You didn't give me a fair chance in the expansion draft in 1991. We couldn't even get Eric Lindros in 1991 because it was obvious he did not want to play for Quebec.
Then
let's go on with the 71 losses that year, the following year. Oh, let's not forget, I don't know, Garpenlov hitting the crossbar the year after that might have sent us to the third round, that likely should have sent us to the Stanley Cup final where we got owned by the Rangers, but I digress. You know, I don't know, Tamu missing the open net in 2002. Let's see, what else can we think of? I don't know, having, you know, NBC Sports Pittsburgh cover the 2016 Stanley Cup final. Sidney Crosby's just the greatest. And then you have their social media team that breaks out, Joe Pavelski hasn't scored 0 points in this series.
Or
slobber the Penguins because freaking Sidney Crosby had one freaking point, but we don't mention that, do we? No, we don't mention that. No, we just give us all kinds of crap. So, you know what? Spite me again. Back to you, Landy.
Well, I think you could have added the stanchion goal too. I still am still bitter about that one. Or the season that shall be not named, and the thing that I've blacked out.
Were you trying to remind me of those? I was trying to stay away from those. Here comes and BX shoot scooters.
Or
freaking, yeah, the reverse sweep. Yeah, still haven't heard that from any all my friends that are from LA's. Oh, Kura auditioning for the Sharks version of LFR. Yes, I can't wait till I can finally go, Sharks, win a game. Be great. Be great.
All right.
And at this moment, just win the game. Just win the freaking game right now. Because you know why? You know why? This poor dog wanted to have victory puppies tonight. Victory puppies. If you haven't seen Steve Dangle's LFR videos, he gives them treats after every game. And because they didn't, you see this poor innocent soul? This is Sharky. Now he's got to go another 2 days without eating because the Sharks lost.
What are you doing to your dog? All right, well, I mean,
come on. Yes, his name is Marlo. He's named after Patty. He might get one nugget because, you know, he did pot, his namesake did pot the game-winning goal. But.
Yeah.
Anthony Sanchez, maybe you should take off the Chichu jersey and try a new look. Oh, that's a funny thing. It's not a Chichu jersey. No, it's a Sharks jersey with freaking Marlo on the back of it wearing number 14.
His original number.
I thought this would have been the year. I really did. I thought this would have been a great year. And now we're 12-14, essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's really ridiculous. The defense, I don't know what happened because you traded Dylan DeMello. Hell, we let him go to unrestricted free agency. We let him go to unrestricted free agency. And then we signed him 11 days later. And then we traded him.
Yeah, you know what? I'm totally with you, Gen X. Eric needs a Xanax.
This might also be because I've had some frustrated issues with my stomach in the last 24 hours. So I'm not 100%. But you know what? I like to give 110% 100% of the time.
Yeah.
And well, I don't think the Sharks have seen that lately. And I hope like hell, they get their act together Saturday morning, 10 a.m., Sharks versus Senators. I hope like hell Erik Karlsson doesn't cry. Come on, Eric. We have the Eric thing going on right here. Come on. We need you to come together, buddy. You know, I do not want to come on here and say freaking Mikhail Bodker gets two goals because post-Teal syndrome.
I think AJ wins the chat tonight. Curran needs to up his dosage of Atacusa. And
it's a Deco USA. Don't give me any lip. I was reading it backwards. Crying out loud. All right.
Well, let's end it here, Eric. I'm going to say where you can find me. You can use my first name, Eric, with a K. My last name, Landy, with an L and an I, because I'm Italian. I'm cool like that. Find me on all the social media garbages. And, yeah, defense be better. Puck guy, finish us up.
Excuse me one moment. Just say Desert Dogs really quick.
Desert Dogs?
Thank you. Okay. My name is Eric Kura. You can follow me on Twitter at PuckGuy14. You can use the same thing as my username on the Instagram. Also, again, like you missed it, in case you want to watch us do this wonderful thing again, check us out on teal10usa.com or your favorite podcatcher. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel because hopefully when Saturday comes, things will be a lot better. Things have to be a lot better. I'm tired of getting made fun of about the Sharks. It's done. You know, I think it was Dan Boyle who said, you know, you don't want to be in this place, but sometimes you just got to stick a middle finger up in the air and say, just freaking do it.
Yep.
And until then, I will see you Saturday after the game. Keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real teal. And have a good night. I have a drinking problem. Yes, that was water, Gen X.
Yeah, and Chris Tierney is going to have that sweet game-winning goal.
Shut your freaking...